Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. Hey listeners, welcome to another episode of These Parts. I am one of your hosts, Elliot McNally, and with me, as he is every week, is my brother, friend, and traveling companion, Vince McNally. How are you, Vince?
I'm great, Elliot. We are really in for a treat this week. One of the most interesting towns I think we've ever visited.
I think so, too. We are always dead set on looking towards the past, just like our great-great-grandfather, Rand McNally, would have intended. But this episode, we're looking towards the future.
A little out of character for, you know, a couple of guys who are historians by trade and antiquarians by nature, but I think it's been a refreshing change of pace, personally.
I think so, too, especially it helps us look towards the future as we plan RANCON 2016.
Oh, I'm so excited, Elliot. I'm chomping at the bit. I cannot wait for RANCON.
I can't wait either, and I know that we have run into a little bit of a scheduling error. I know that unbeknownst to me, you were scheduling guests. I was scheduling guests. Xander, our publisher, was scheduling guests. Now we have so many guests, and we cannot extend the one-week duration of RANCON, but we can extend the duration of all of our chats and seminars throughout the day. So we'll be running these talks 24 hours a day for the entire week of RANCON.
Indeed, we'll be running two talks at a time. So in any moments where I'm silent, you will be doing a different talk. You'll be swiveling in your chair, turning to face an audience behind us and talking to them, and then after that, when you're done, we'll switch and I will turn around and address that crowd. So we'll be constantly talking for, what's 24 times 7?
A lot.
Yes, it is. That's how much we'll be talking.
Sometimes we have two guests talking at the same time because we have so many people who are scheduled.
It's just the nature of RANCON.
And as we look forward to RANCON, I think we should look forward to putting this town on the map.
Great idea, Elliot.
So listeners at home, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps in whatever form you have. Tack them up on the wall, unfurl them. Listeners, where we're going this week, we did in fact need roads. But all the roads we took led to something great. We are in Wilfordshire, Delaware, and apparently through our research, Vince and I have learned that this town exists 2 years in the future.
Yeah, that is the claim made by the administration here in Wilfordshire. According to them, the town was founded traditionally, as any town would be, but unbeknownst to the pilgrims who settled here, they actually settled over a wormhole of sorts, a ripple in the time-space continuum. This has pushed the town into the future, so anyone who is living here is actually, I think the current date here would be March 11th, 2018.
That seems right. But I think we'll get some even more clarification from our esteemed guest. She is the curator of the town's museum. Would you care to introduce yourself?
Oh, yes, please. I am Winifred Van McErney. You can call me Winnie or Winifred or Mrs. McErney.
Winifred, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Sure.
Winifred, you have such a lovely name. I just had to comment on that right away.
Thank you.
And now could you do us the great honor of putting your town of Wilfordshire on the map?
Oh, absolutely. Pew, pew, pew.
It seems like in the future you guys have laser pins instead of our traditional analog pins.
Oh, I am so sorry. I forget all the time that you don't have the benefit of 2 more years.
Yeah, well, you know, Rand McNally did always make our maps compatible with the next technology, so it should hold up. It should work.
Oh, gosh. Oh, good. Oh, good.
Well, that's perfect. Winifred, Would you just tell us a little bit about not only yourself, but how you came to be the curator of the Wilfordshire Museum and what exactly is on display at the Wilfordshire Museum?
Well, in all honesty, I am also the founder, developer, and director of the Wilfordshire Museum. It started in my home. And then expanded from there to a public library, but there were too many stairs. So we were able to find a space downtown, which is where we currently are. We share it with a nursery, so I have to be a little quiet. I don't want to wake up the little ones.
Well, you're supposed to be quiet in a museum, or is that change in the future?
Well, you know, I think that museums just become more dynamic as time goes on. You know, people have so many entertainment options these days.
Can you tell us what it's like even living in the future? I mean, Vince and I have been here for a week, but there's still so much that we have to learn.
Well, I guess for starters, I know you didn't mean any harm, but we don't like to call it a wormhole. That just sounds disgusting and vile. We prefer a time hop zone. And yeah, we find that that's more friendly to children and it doesn't make their minds wander into disturbing places.
Allow me to apologize. I understand the power of using the correct lexicon in the towns that we visit. So from now on, it's a time hop zone.
That's right.
I see.
It was portal, but that also seemed a little suggestive to me.
That seems a little, innuendo ridden.
Thank you.
If you don't mind, I think we should time hop on over to our next segment, a segment that we don't break out too often. It's called Hall Monikers.
Hall Monikers is an investigation into how the towns in America got their names. We like to call upon this segment when we have an especially interesting story of naming that has come to these towns. Wilfordshire might not seem like much at face value, but I'm sure Winifred will clue us in as to the actual story behind the name. Winifred, how did Wilfordshire get to be called what it's called?
Well, many people wrongfully assume that it was named after Lord Wilfordshire, who was one of the first founders of Delaware. It's an easy assumption to make, but actually we weren't founded for yet another 2 years beyond his arrival. And by that time, his mistress had moved. This is very hard to talk about, but she had moved some distance away and founded her own town, and in a, I would say, unjust and mocking tone, had named her dog Lord Wilfordshire and named the town Wilfordshire.
So in a sort of power play against her lover that had scorned her, she named a town after him. And named a dog after him at the same time?
Well, yes. I mean, the dog's full name was Wilfordshire McBoots, but over time the McBoots got dropped. There was a push at one point in our town in 1956 to reinstate the McBoots, to make us more distinctive than the city of Wilfordshire. But I was really proud of the town for pushing back on that sort of idea.
So when was it discovered that this town was in fact 2 years in the future? I mean, with a more antiquated sounding name like Wilfordshire, you'd expect the town to be either in the present or in the past.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because to be honest, we were unaware that we were 2 years ahead until visitors started coming by, and they just seemed... I mean, at the start, we just thought, well, maybe they're just unaware of current events, and that maybe we should just update them. But we caused a rift, and we lost a few tourists that way. And so after that, we just decided to adopt more old-fashioned values and to ignore current events so that we would not cause future harm.
Interesting. So by a rift, you mean informing someone of the past of a future event and thereby causing some sort of tear in the space-time continuum.
You can call it that if you want, but all I can say is they disappeared and in front of us was a pile of clothes.
Wow, that truly sounds haunting. It's a popular trope in fiction that if you mess with the events of the past, you could cause irreparable damage to the timeline. So I'm starting to see just how much of a responsibility you folks in Wilfordshire have.
I mean, I was tempted to tell you how RandCon was going to go, but I cannot do that.
Thank you. I'd like to figure it out on our own, and I appreciate you respecting that. Are there any other current events, though, that Wilfordshire had a hand in maybe helping or stopping by knowing extra knowledge?
The original name for Tongs was Grabnabbers.
So, allow me to just clarify that when tongs were invented, they were originally called Grabnabbers.
Grabnabbers. Yes, Wilfordshire immediately understood the sensual undertones of such a name, and we came up with the decidedly unsensual Tongs.
So was the inventor in town and someone cut him off at mid on his way to patent the name?
Well, I am a little embarrassed to admit this, but yes, we changed the road signs. As you know, many companies are incorporated in Delaware, so we have unfettered access to most entrepreneurs.
And so to draw him into a time loop that allowed you to prevent Grabnabbers from ever existing, you sent out a group of insurgents to change road signs along the way to lure him through Wilfordshire.
We did, and for some added insurance, we put up signs for fresh peaches.
Everybody, of course, knows, for you listeners at home who aren't aware, the founder of Tongs Corporation is notorious for his peach lust.
Some say that you can still see the inventor of Tongs driving in an almost Mobius loop around the town, never ending because of these road sign changes.
Well, and part of it was he insisted on using tongs to grip the steering wheel. And in fact, anything that he reached for, he was truly grabbing.
The tragic irony of his life is that he would often mar or drop the peaches that he so craved with his tong hands.
Oh, they have very delicate skins, and he just, you know, you would think you would invent a nicer tong.
A more peach-friendly apparatus.
Yes.
Surely. Well, the world thanks you for intervening and preventing such a callous and corruptive name to an everyday household item. What about, if I may press you for some information, the events that you didn't decide to intervene in, that you foresaw and allowed to go as planned by the universe?
We thought about intervening with Netflix.
Why is that?
We really support the Postal Service, and we thought, you know, people could order DVDs forever. But then once we experienced the service of being able to stream content online immediately, mm-hmm. Well, our stance softened a bit. And while I did try to rally some support for intervening on behalf of the United States Postal Service, I'm very patriotic. Mm-hmm. My attempts failed, and Netflix moved ahead with their plan. And I'm most embarrassed to admit that I myself have many nights curled up and watched a lot of Netflix shows.
Well, isn't it true that this Netflix moving to a completely streaming service took a lot of jobs away from Wilfordshire because all Netflix DVDs came through a Wilfordshire service which would grind them on concrete before being sent to their recipient?
Oh, absolutely. And you're forgetting how we would wear the edges of the title so you were unsure what movie you might be watching.
Mm, that was an extra upcharge.
It was. We employed 40 people.
Ruining discs around the clock.
Yes. And you can just imagine how the death of the AOL DVD impacted our industry.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
I mean, that was millions. That was millions. We tried to turn it into art to sell, but no one was buying.
Well, it was millions of AOL discs per household at one point, I think.
That average does not surprise me.
Well, at least the citizens of Wilfordshire still have a lucrative economy of taking red box DVD cases and coating them in an almost indescribable coating of sticky resin. Thanks so much for shedding some light not only into the founding of Wilfordshire, but also into some of the historical events where the people of Wilfordshire have made their presence known. It's been fascinating, Elliot, and I think we have cause to ask for just a little more information.
In a segment we call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So, listeners, this is your weekly opportunity to write in with your questions, concerns, and queries to ask us specifically about the towns we're staying in, and we and our illustrious guests will do our best to answer them. We have time to read three each and every week, and it looks like my brother has the first one right in front of him.
I'm unfurling it right now, and just scanning over this, it looks like it's definitely tied to this whole idea of intervening or not intervening in events. So this will be interesting. It's from Javier in Asheville, North Carolina.
Thanks for writing, Javier.
Javier says, "Guys, I love the show, but I'm in kind of a strange predicament. I find myself disappearing as I write this letter." That is very interesting, Javier.
That's terrifying. Stay safe.
He says that the only explanation he could think of is that in Wilfordshire, Delaware, somewhere, or somewhere else in the future, his mother is going out on a date with an adversarial figure to his father, resulting in possibly him never being born. So he wants to know, do these types of things happen in Wilfordshire, Delaware often? And what are some things and precautions people can take to avoid them?
I would love to jump in. Just sorry to preempt you, Winifred, but I think our writer, Javier, might have a different problem on his hands, because for this to be true, wouldn't he need to be living in Wilfordshire and his mother in the past is somewhere?
Maybe. I'm not really sure how the whole space-time thing works, but he does make reference to his mother going to some sort of under-the-sea prom this weekend.
Oh, no. Oh, that is a disaster. Javier, I'm so sorry for you. There's nothing that can be done.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
It's just like, Javier, if you're listening somehow in the future, we're so sorry.
Particularly because we need all the listeners we can get. we can't afford to lose one.
We estimate Javier is upwards of 25% of our listener base. This is going to be really bad for numbers.
Winifred, have you ever witnessed any other relationships ending or starting, resulting in children either being or not being born?
Oh, well, as I mentioned, I work adjacent to a nursery, and we have many healthy, happy, beautiful children. We do recommend that if you want to procreate, that you do so with a spouse here in Wilfordshire and never leave. We find that any deviation from that model is, it just has its risks, you know. We have had couples go to meet on McGuff cliffs, and sadly, one would wander too far into the brush and be 2 years in the past. And just be separated forever. So we call that Lovers Don't Go There Rock.
It's a catchy name.
Well, I as we described, the lexicon is so important, and you know how you choose your words. Some people were like Danger Rock, but I thought that just sounded, you know, enticing.
Yes.
Or it's dangerous if you have lived in Wilfordshire and you know things about the future and then journey to the past. A lot of catastrophic things could happen. Do you ever witness people in Wilfordshire disappearing because of things that may have happened in the past?
Oh, gosh, you know, that's part of the curse, is that it never happens to the person from Wilfordshire. It only happens to the people they love.
Haunting.
It's tragic, honestly. Why, we had somebody try to go off to college, and she burned through two professors, a TA, and three roommates in 1 week.
That is truly frightening. One must fear, then, getting entangled into the life of a Wilfordshirean who wanders outside of the city limits.
Well, I've been very careful not to give you any of my contact information. After this conversation, I recommend we do not speak.
Well, if it's for the best and for the good of the world, I think that's okay.
I can already feel my heart breaking, Winifred, but if it's how it must be, it's how it must be.
Okay, sirrah, sirrah. Vince, do you have the next letter for us?
I sure do. And let me tell you, this one looks like a doozy. It comes from right here in Wilfordshire, Delaware.
So what does this person have to say?
This one is written on a computer's circuit board in silver Sharpie, so it looks very futuristic.
It does.
And it says, "Greetings, travelers. I hail from the future land of Wilfordshire, Delaware. We are still...
No, don't keep reading.
No, Winifred, it's okay. We're in Wilfordshire, and it's from Wilfordshire, so this should be a self-contained loop.
Force of habit. Go on.
Thank you for your concern. He goes on to say, we are big movie fans in Futureland. We love to watch movies on large TVs. One of favorite movies, Deliverance, American classic, set in Wilfordshire, Delaware. Please sing praises of this film.
Interesting. So it seems like our futuristic writer seems to have been a little lost through the time hop zones, I guess you could say.
I think he got his wires crossed, Elliot.
his circuits are a little messed up there.
Well, I find a lot suspicious about that letter, starting with the fact that anyone's actually seen Deliverance doesn't want to reference it ever again.
That's true. Also, the fact that Deliverance was neither shot nor set in Wilfordshire, Delaware, it seems like most people in the present day know that. And being 2 years in the future, you would almost seem to know that even more.
I mean, that would have to be some sort of gigantic cover-up or some sort of conspiracy. And I can't imagine something like that happening in our town.
That's true.
I'm hesitant to equate this letter in any way to the giant chrome statue of Burt Reynolds you've erected in the town center.
We don't like to talk about that statue.
Well, I guess that means we're going on to the next question then.
Well, okay, fine. If you're going to just yell it out of me.
Vince, I told you not to pry.
I'm sorry. That was out of line. I'm sorry, Winifred.
To be honest with you, I wish it were a statue of Burt Reynolds and not, in fact, the result of a tragic iron ore accident during the refilming of Deliverance in Wilfordshire, Delaware.
There was going to be a refilming?
Yes.
Wow. So this must have happened, what, I guess 2 years in the future means last year?
Well, I don't want to say.
It's for our own safety, Elliot. We can't know.
It's for your own safety.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I don't want to disappear.
I do just feel it's very regrettable, and I'm so sorry, Burt Reynolds.
I do want to bring up the interesting industry that you guys have here of you can go to a theater and make fun of past movies with a couple of robots.
Oh, yes. It's the talkie robot time with Mystery 2000 Andre Balloon time.
Yep, that's exactly it.
The names in this town really roll off the tongue.
We want to be specific. What if you came not expecting balloons?
You'd be in for a shock, that's for sure.
That's what I say.
Well, thank you for writing, citizen, unnamed citizen of Wilfordshire. And to anyone listening who knows and loves Burt Reynolds, tell him before it's too late.
Oh, Winifred, do you have the next and final question for us?
I do. Let me open it here. Oh, it's folded quite nicely. Oh, it's from Ben Bushwick in Canton, Georgia. And it just says, Winifred, when will you call me again? And the answer is never, okay? Listen, that ended a long time ago when you went back to Georgia.
So you have a pre-existing relationship with this writer?
Yes. Before I married Mr. McGurney, I briefly dated Ben Bushwick. He wouldn't change his last name, and in a fit of rebellion, he left, and so he's been 2 years behind me ever since.
Is there any sort of future version of him that you know of in Wilfordshire?
Oh, he wouldn't dare come back. He wouldn't dare. That's why he sent the letter. Oh, you better not dare, Ben Bushwick. I better not find you hiding behind the primrose bush like you did when we were in high school. You climbed the side of that porch and flung your leg over the side and walk towards me with those magnetic eyes. You better not. Don't do it.
Is this the same Ben Bushwick with the photo that I saw in your museum? It's a signed photo of some guy named Ben Bushwick?
Yes, he signed it for me, and he mailed it to me, and he said, I don't care what the future is. I'll always be stuck in the past.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
I have to admit, you can't see this, listeners at home, but my eyes are moistening a bit at the edges.
There are so many heart-wrenching details of this town that I didn't expect to learn.
Well, people often underestimate us. And I, for one, enjoy being underestimated. It leaves life less disappointing.
Words to live by, Winifred. And speaking of expectations, we have a segment that often defies them.
And that's what we call no gifts, ands, or buts.
That sounds very promising.
We hope so. We hope so. So, listeners, you know that if you're a fan of anthropology like my brother and I, that gift-giving culture is very important and has been to human society for a long time. We pay homage to that particular instinctual trend by having a segment dedicated to it. In this segment, we will pick out a gift for our guest, and the guest will pick one out for us.
So, Winifred, of course, you have given us something from the future. Vince and I have taken the liberty of giving you something from the past. Would you mind if we opened ours first? We're just chomping at the bit to figure out what you got us.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because what I got you is a horse bit.
That is funny that we should say that. I was wondering what it was. I'm not much of an equestrian myself. So what about this horse bit is significant?
Well, I don't want to reveal too much, but I will say travel by horse becomes more relevant in the future. And also, because I like to marry the past and the present, I am giving you the horse bit that was from the dog of the mistress of Lord Wilfordshire, Wilfordshire McBoots. He had his own Shetland pony that he rode. And this is a very special bit and stirrup setup, and I just thought you might enjoy the bit.
Would this have anything to do with some sort of ominous foretelling of what happens to Vincent, my RV, as we leave town? Maybe we'll need this horse?
I would hang on to that RV if I were you. Also, I would just say, maybe don't be in such a rush to get a self-driving car.
Interesting. I'm writing this down.
Oh, no, don't.
The ink is disappearing as I write it. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no.
Hopefully we haven't crossed the time streams too cataclysmically. But thank you so much, not only for the gift of future warning, but also for a little piece of the past. We love that on the show and as people, so... I just love the image of a tiny dog riding an even tinier pony around the town. That's just good old-fashioned fun.
Well, it's like my dad always used to say, life is a dichotomy.
Very poignant words.
Thank you.
And if you would do the honors to open up the gift that Vince and I got you, we would appreciate it.
It's quite heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's an empty picture frame.
Wait, it's empty?
Yeah, I don't... There's no photo
Elliot,
in it.
Oh, my God.
It was supposed
what's
to be
happened?
A picture of Vince and I.
Oh. Oh, in that case, yes, I see you quite clearly, and everything is fine.
No, we can see the picture, Winifred.
Oh,
it's
God.
Empty.
Oh,
don't lie to us, Winifred.
Perhaps if you just extended your trip by a week or so, we could find a way to mend all the horrifying damage we've already done.
Oh, I didn't want to say anything, but on the way over here, a man in sunglasses stopped me, showed me a picture of Vince as a child, and asked if I had seen this boy. And I feel like it's pertinent to bring up now.
Well, I would just think if you could spend maybe a week monitoring the density of your body and whether it seems like actually dense or if it's disappearing, and then just choose the moment when it's most dense and run for it. Just run.
I guess that's duly noted. We should probably get our running shoes on, Vince, because who knows what's around the corner in Wilfordshire.
Don't forget the RV. Take the RV. Listen, if you can exceed 55 miles an hour, do it.
What happens if we go below 55 miles an hour?
Then you better hope that Keanu Reeves is on board.
Oh, God. All right, Xander, if you can hear us in the past, get Keanu on the phone. Elliot, was it just me or did that man in sunglasses have... Was he wearing a postal uniform?
I think he was, Vince.
Oh, God.
You know what? Before we delve any deeper and ruin anything else, I think we should get to our next segment.
Great idea, Elliot. It's called... Did you know?
So listeners, Did You Know is our weekly fast fact firing segment, firing five facts at you, the listener, from whatever town we're in. Each week, of course, we have five. And Vince, looks like you have the first one.
I sure do. Elliot and Winifred, did you know there's a thriving As Seen on TV market here in Wilfordshire, Delaware?
Wow, I did not know that.
Well, I certainly did.
As you might know, Winifred, the inventions created by people here in Wilfordshire are fantastical and futuristic, and they are so abundant that even amazing items such as the freeze ray and Shrinkovision are readily available by mail order.
Well, they are, although there's certainly a shipping delivery issue that though they're in stock, we have to wait to ship them quite some time. I will say, though, soon to market, finally to be shipped, are reusable balloons.
You guys probably go through a lot when you're watching all those past movies and making fun of them.
We did. We do a balloon drop every time, and the show is weekly. And honestly, it was just a travesty for the environment. But then a lady named Jane Travesty, if you can believe that, figured out a way to make them 100% reusable. And we put it on the market 2 years ago, and orders just streamed in, and we can finally ship them next week.
That's exciting.
And that's something that I didn't know. But Winifred and Vince, did you know that nobody has television sets in their homes in Wilfordshire, Delaware?
Oh, of course not. Why would you waste valuable wall space with a television?
Well, and it's sort of valuable mind space too, because I'm told that the show Lucifer on Fox actually comes back, and no one wanted to have a television in their home after that happened.
Well, that's just obvious. I mean, why would you even produce that show? It's just a travesty.
It truly boggles the mind.
If it's on TV, you might as well not have one.
So true.
Well, Winifred, do you have the next Did You Know fact for us?
Yes. Did you know that just sending a letter is not as powerful as coming to a girl's house and knocking on her door like a real man would?
I didn't know that, and it's tinged with something I can't quite put my finger on.
Well, I can't help you with the future, but I can certainly say that someone has failed to do this in the past.
But you are married, or remarried, correct?
Well, I am married for the first time. I married Mr. McKerney. He is a kind and wonderful man.
You're pulling out a picture of him now. He looks strikingly similar to Ben, who you mentioned before.
He is Ben's brother. He was willing to change his name.
He took your last name.
I did not want to be a Mrs. Bushwick. Can you imagine? Oh, the taunting and the lasciviousness. I might as well, like, be an extra on Lucifer. It's disgusting.
No one would fault you for that, and hopefully you can find some solace in your remaining last name, and in the fact that you don't have to watch the show Lucifer.
Thank you, I do. I honestly do.
I didn't know that, but I'm glad that I do. Did you guys know that though there are fewer models of cars here in Wilfordshire, Delaware, much more frequently to see horses and buggies, strange that might be, one make and model is still very, very popular.
And what's that model?
Ford Taurus.
The Ford Taurus shares that honor with the DeLorean.
Interesting. I could probably put two and two together about this, Vince, but I thought they didn't even make DeLoreans anymore.
That is true in our timeline, Elliot. But here in Wilfordshire, 2 years in the future, something has changed.
You keep wiggling your fingers when you say that.
Yeah, I was instructed to do this whenever I talked about the future. It's sort of a past-proofing technique.
So if you do that, then you cannot affect what happened in the past.
That's what I was told by the Better Business Bureau outpost here in Wilfordshire.
And don't take that for granted. Your hands are the first to disappear, so if you mobilize them, it can stave off disaster.
Moving them about kind of hides them in the time stream.
Yeah, the time stream wants so badly to hunt you down and vaporize you so you're just a pile of clothes. But if you can keep your hands mobile, well, power to you.
I didn't know that, Vince, but did you guys know there is one type of special glasses that everyone in Wilfordshire has access to and a lot of people wear?
I didn't know that. Ellie, what are you talking about?
Wilfordshire, Delaware is actually the foremost manufacturer of 3D glasses because if you're in some sort of futuristic gang, you always have to have the guy that wears 3D glasses.
Absolutely. And I just want to add that we figured out how to have virtual fighting so that, I mean, it's essentially like Pokemon Go, except what you do is you collect an image of the, not alternative, but, you know, the other gang, and you duke it out online.
So you fight against rival gang members' avatars with your own avatar.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, that seems like a very good solution, actually. Much less violent.
It is. And they've even built a virtual hospital where people can be virtually healed. It's really precious. But don't tell them I said that.
I've seen the virtual hospital, and it seems, and maybe it's just because we're from the past, but it seems more like a morgue in our continuum.
Well, you know, you put one player in the hospital, you put the other player in the morgue.
Wow, that took a surprisingly aggressive turn, but it makes perfect sense. At least no one's getting physically harmed. And allow me to take this opportunity to thank you so much, Winifred, for your generosity and for bearing your soul in this episode and for taking the time out of your busy schedule as museum curator to talk to us about this strange and wonderful town.
I only wish you could stay longer, but honestly, I really think probably within the next 5 or 10 minutes, you should just haul ass out of here.
Well, the RV's already running in the background. You can probably hear it, listeners. We're going to make a break for it so we don't blink out of existence. But before we do, we've got one more segment for you.
And that's one called Wish You Were Here.
So maybe not this week, but usually we would love to have you guys along with us for the ride through the towns that we visit. That can't happen always, so instead we've got the next best thing, an audio postcard from us to you.
And it goes something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Wilfordshire, Delaware.
A quaint little town stuck in the future. 2 years, to be precise.
The town home to Winifred McErney, curator of the most amazing museum that anyone from the past or future has ever seen.
A town that's responsible for scuffed DVDs and the appropriate name for tongs.
A town also responsible for the appropriate name for a wormhole, which is a time hop zone.
A town that seems to be the final resting place for American screen legend Burt Reynolds.
And a town that seems to be the final resting place for anyone who ever owned a television.
Farewell from these parts to yours. And by parts, I don't mean anything dirty.
Hey, listeners, I hope 2 years from now when this episode comes out, you'll have enjoyed it. And I hope you're with us next week when we're in Lloyd, Iowa.
Lloyd, Iowa was deemed the most fashionable town in America in 1850. And citizens are hoping fashion trends will swing fortuitously their way a second time. So you don't want to miss that.